You're now listening to a Hip Hop Digest special interview with King Killer, Kurji, and E Green.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest interview series. It's your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurji.
And of course, it's E Green. And yo, we just brought another legend back.
Yes, sir.
So good. We had to do it again. Billy Bill, William Waring
so
with
nice
us.
Nice. You got to do it twice.
Good to be here. Good to be here.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
We're going to sponge off some more of that knowledge.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I'm here for it all.
All right.
No doubt. Well, I guess since you've been here, you already know we got to do it again, because the last time you were on, you gave your top three, and it might be different. You might have a top three right now, and your first record you bought will never change. But right now, who are your top three MCs?
This hardly ever going to change, man. This is Kurt, Melly Mel, probably Mo D.
Okay.
That's just being biased. You know.
from your era. Oh, man.
It's 1,000. It's Grandmaster Caz. And I could go on. But, yeah. Mel is probably sitting at the top. Got to throw in DJ Hollywood.
Okay.
Yep. Because he's really uncredited.
All right.
And people are not giving him what he deserved. But I will always do that.
That's what we try to do here too.
I know how that feels, you know.
Yes, sir.
I mean, people used to be lined up to come hear him rap.
Wow.
You know, lined up in the Bronx. You know, but he wasn't the first to call himself an MC, but that's what he was doing. You know, and he was a DJ as well. So I'm gonna give him his props always.
All right.
What was it? His wordplay. What was his What made him special in your eyes?
Oh man, he had the crowd participation. He had the routines with the girls, with his crew. You know, the timing was impeccable. He had DJ Junebug, and he taught him how to spin and how to be there and be on the one and be in the pocket and be ready when I said, like Russell was talking with him the other day. He was like, what do you get when you bust a nut? Super sperm. You know, June Bug was right on it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The routines was tight, brother.
Oh, that's okay. What's up. Okay. And we don't... No, go ahead.
So, but Mel had the cadence. And Mel had the cadence and the voice. And he called himself an MC. So, you know, I got to give it to him. And he's always going to be who he says he is. And he will take all the smoke, you know. And rightfully so, man. And actually, we have a plan to collaborate. You know, basically it's going to be on me. Because every time I live upstate New York and... they came up here, Melly Mel and Scorpio and Sugar Hill Gang and Kurt. All them was up here in February. But Mel and I always had the ambition kind of to do something together, because we was at one time, you know, it was just him and me and Jahlil Hutchins, who could only write real songs, you know what I'm saying? And, you know.
Wow. At one
time. So you know, I said, Mel, you know, one day we got to do something. He's like, Bill, you got one more in you? So all we need is one. I'm like, all we need is one. I said, man, I think we could do it, man, between us, you know.
Wow.
That'd be beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we got to represent what we planted the seeds to do, you know.
For sure.
Yeah.
No doubt. So I guess I got a question as far as what you were saying about DJ Hollywood. Is there in any reason that you could speculate on why he didn't, where even yourself and obviously Melly Mel, Kumo D, there was a transition to be able to record several recordings? Why he didn't make that leap to recording is prevalent as others?
I probably had to tell the real story. Why you're asking me why he didn't record?
Yes.
Because, all right, now this is the true story. I'm sure he'll corroborate this. When Sylvia offered to record him and Starsky or Eddie Cheever, those were the top three guys, right? And all of them were getting money, right? And they had no idea what getting on the record would mean, you know? So basically he declined the offer. You know, I'm getting money. He was doing, he was getting like $500 a night, and he would do five shows, maybe 5 hours in five different places. So, you know, you figure that's what's that, $2,500, and maybe that's one night, and maybe work a Saturday night, that's another 25. So you're making $5,000 a week. You know, he thought that was a lot of money. Back then it was, you know, yeah. So you had a little ego going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making money. I ain't got no time for this. But then somebody made that record. And lo and behold, millions.
Right.
So now, I'm sure it's probably a little regret behind that by not, you know, taking the opportunity.
Wow. You know? And it's just...
Now, that leads us up to my homeboy who came in there and just walked away with it because he was solo, you know?
Okay.
And rest is history.
Well, yeah. Indeed. Wow.
And all those guys are my friends. So, but the truth is the truth. So,
yeah, the truth is always going to be the truth. Yeah. And you mentioned history. Yeah. How do you feel right now? Because there's this climate there, whereas, you know, 50 years and people wanting to be able to tell this story. Who should be telling the hip hop story?
Glad you went there and I was prepared for it. Because I was going to mention it if you didn't. Actually, I don't like what it's doing. I mean, yeah, it's 50 years, but I'm going to say there's a couple years that it didn't have a name, but we was doing something. And a couple of the people that, you know, claim to be there and all that, they had to be like 10, 11 years old. Come on, man.
Ah.
10, 11 years old, brother. If you was born in 1965, you can't tell me nothing about you there because you was 8.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Let's clear that up. The timeline, don't lie. And the other thing I'm saying is I don't like what it's doing because, you know, it's tearing people apart and it's not uniting us really. You know, everybody's out to get a part of it. Everybody's trying to get a piece of something they may or may not have done, you know. But the history, if it goes on records, you know who's on the records, you know.
Right.
Like, I mean, if you rocked at 2 or 3 block parties, that don't make you a legend.
It might have a legendary party, huh?
Yeah. Some guys, you know, some guys is trying to omit other people's success and well-doings and replacing them with themselves. And
well, I gotta ask then, I'm gonna ask the obvious question. I mean, there's obvious hip-hop history because of certain individuals' alleged acts that are certainly by others who weren't even around, you know. And I guess I'm asking you, for someone who is obviously were there, you know, at the beginning, if not shortly right thereafter, about folks who, you know, what do you think about it? Because that's not your personal history, but you were around, you know. Yeah. People have committed bad acts allegedly. But it seems like, you know, wow, how do we account for that history?
Bad acts. Wow. Think you could be a little more specific?
I'm being specific when it gets down to Bambaataa.
Now, actually, I don't know him that well.
Okay.
And I'm not going to badmouth him, but nobody wants to talk about it. And he has never defended himself, basically. But he had a following. Now, his, you know, his proclivities, is that's on him, brother.
Got you.
I guess they were bad acts. If you have some witnesses or, you know, people might have known and didn't say anything, you know?
Right.
But I don't know him well enough to elaborate on it and, you know.
Well, outside of that, though, because there's people that know and then there's a whole billion other people who don't know. But with regards to hip hop.
Yeah.
It's King Killer here always says separating the wheat from the chaff. I had a hard time doing that with R. Kelly. I'm just being upfront. I've always been one who said, yo, we need to check this dude for what's going on. I don't care how good these records are supposed to be. So that's what I mean. It's hard for me, or what has been hard for me, to separate. But as we look through life, we all have some things behind us that we trying to leave back there. Maybe, you know, not to extents of others, so to speak.
Right.
But if we have a contribution to something that is now worldwide, are we, is it which side of the argument do we fall on? Do we separate that? You know, because people, we don't separate it.
You know, you might have made some good music, and that can't be denied, but that don't make you a good person, you know?
Oh, no doubt. We can't,
And the acts might be unspeakable, you know? It's hard to separate, but some crazy things happened along the way, man, you know?
Okay. Well, let me give you an analogy real quick. We got O.J. Simpson is in the NFL Hall of Fame. Right, and then we have somebody like Pete Rose, who was an incredible baseball player, who probably will not see the inside of the Baseball Hall of Fame in his lifetime.
Right. Okay.
There we have two. Well, actually, OJ got in the Hall of Fame obviously before all the whole story of the rest of his life, but he was a very good football player. He was an amazing football player. Do we take him out of the Hall of Fame? And how do we keep Pete Rose out?
All right, first thing, no, you shouldn't take him out of the Hall of Fame, because what he did as a football player was exemplary, and he was great at it. So as a football player, he played football. And if it's the Football Hall of Fame, he rightfully belongs there. That's me.
Okay.
Now, what else he did in life? You know, that shouldn't defer from his football ability. He's there for football and football alone.
No doubt.
So I believe that Pete Rose had a chance to rectify that just by apologizing and admitting. Mm. And he didn't do it.
Right.
He had several chances to do it.
At a point.
I guess he thought he was bigger than the game. Baseball.
And that makes sense.
All he had to do was show some humility and, you know, I'm sorry. I did this. Please forgive me. Baseball, it was a mistake. And maybe he would have had some sympathy. And, you know, but he's going to deny that on his deathbed, I guess. Some of it is ego, guys.
That makes sense. Yes, that translates as well into the hip hop arena. That translates on that side, the Pete Rose analogy.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Well, I don't know what we're going to do about it, but...
You know what? If you was great at hip hop, especially in the early stages, like where we began, the ego was very significant in it. You couldn't be a great rapper and not have one. Mm-hmm. So it was also a detriment. You know, that's why there was no unity in it. And the same thing is like kind of coming around now. Everybody wants to do this and have 100 MCs at one gathering and all that. But back in the day, it was competition. You get me?
All right.
And the ego and ego here and ego there. Like, oh, God. That's why I tried to write a record that the first record I wrote was trying to put that in decline. I'm like, is everything, all this is about what you can do, and I'm this, I'm the baddest, I get all the girls, I got all the money. I'm like, let's talk about something different, you know? Uniting people, helping somebody, you know?
Yeah.
So I probably planted the seed to a tree that will never be named after me.
Hey.
Well, I think it's one of the things about hip hop, and then we're, like you said, everybody's running around, or we're talking about the 50th. You're largely not, I mean, everyone's not going to get the same coverage, but you're largely, I mean, heck, you know, even I would say the era from, like, I'd say for us, for 87, and maybe who were the heroes in our era, even those guys, and pretty big names, even they're getting kind of, history has washed those people away.
Exactly.
To a certain extent, you know?
You're right. And so it's up to folks like us to never get buried like that, you know? Because that's what I'm saying. People want to put themselves in place of that and erase the history. But it's something you can't do. If you made that history, you can't erase it. You can deny it and overlook it and omit it, but it happened, bro. And the facts will always be the facts.
There you go. Indeed. No doubt.
I got another quick one for you. Yes, in today's age of hip-hop, sports, and entertainment, you know, gentlemen like yourself, I've seen you on the... in the garden, on the floor, with you know, some of those Knicks players and whatnot.
Yes, yes.
Do you think it's the same now with sports and rappers and sports folks, or is it different?
I think it's kind of different now because, you know, there's more money in it, and they won't put shine on the guys that opened the door for that, who married sports to hip hop. So, you know who crew did that, right? You're looking at him. Right? Right?
That's how I brought it up.
We did that, you know? So, what can I say, man? You know, we probably was born too soon.
Well, you know, we're not gonna say that. We born in our time, right. In our time. But so if you look at today, you get a lot of basketball players, football players, probably even baseball or hockey players that want to portray the hip hop lifestyle, and in some cases even make records. Exactly. Was there that kind of desire from sports players back then? Were they interested in being a part of what you were doing?
Not that I really knew of, you know. We admired the great sports, the idols and all that, you know. But I don't know what they felt about hip-hop because, you know, I guess we had to win them over.
Okay.
You know? Because, you know, it wasn't accepted. Oh, this is a fad. It's going to play out, you know?
All right, Bill. So I got to ask you, there may be people who are listening to this show and don't know. I think it's time that we educate them again.
Exactly
you could tell our audience and those who are new exactly what you are responsible for. Hey, let's put it right here on record. All the time we get a chance to do so, I like to educate folk again. What are you? People may be listening. Yo, they talking to this guy, but what has he done? What era? Okay. What are we talking about?
What I could do is we started on the ground floor of hip hop as a break dancer with my crew. You know, Curtis Blow, Dancing Doug. This is the early 70s, and a couple years before the real hip hop had a name, they wanted to start calling it that. All right, so we did that for several years. Then we got into DJing, right? I'm progressing up to records. All right, I made my name I was a great rapper for a minute, right? But now I also found out I was a better writer. And my friend had to break. He had got the first contract, right? As a solo major artist. So I decided I would write a couple of songs. This is 1980. So Curtis Blow had he had Christmas Rapping and the Breaks out. So I wrote two more songs because he was promised an album. So I wrote Throughout the Years in 1980, and I wrote Hard Times, the original Hard Times in 1980. And those basically were two of the first social rap, social conscious raps. But I probably won't get credit as it going to be the first one, all right? But the truth is, there was nothing out like that. All you gotta do is go to the records 1980 and see who had something out like that. Nobody.
That's true. There it is.
That's on wax and it's credited. My name is on it and everything. Okay, so I wrote songs for the first 7 years of the '80s, and then between 83 and 85 is when it took off. And I'll just name some of the things I did. Starting in 83, we had The Games People Play by Sweet G. That's number one in New York.
It's a big record.
Yes. It was playing on three record stations at one time. And I never heard nothing like that in my life in 1983. The Love Bug Starsky, rest in peace, You Gotta Believe.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Huge record.
Then Run DMC made a cover of Hard Times and with the great Larry Smith. And yeah, and that came out in 83 at the end of the year. That made it to like number 11. Yeah. But it was bigger than that, than the chart.
Right.
Than the chart.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. So now I'm on the road, 1984. And it happened like this. It was 8 Million Stories, Basketball, Fat Boys, Fast Life, one called B-Boy Breaking. Mm. I know not many people knew about that, but that was a Larry Smith production. And all right. Then I did something for fun with Cool Kyle. We said, come on, man, let's make a record. So we did Trouble and the Old School on Profile Records.
All right.
So, did I miss anything?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what, you know, being a kid during those and probably having probably not all of those, but I'd say probably 90% of those records. Yeah.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, you know.
And you're making those records and we're back in little ass York, Pennsylvania, just soaking all of that in, coming from New York, man.
And I'm glad it reached that far. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure it reached farther than that, but it definitely caught us.
Yeah, it was a ball doing it. It was sort of easy to do it. It just flowed out. And, you know, little did I know it was really going to be history until later on because, you know, I didn't know which way, what direction hip hop was going in. But the point is, now it's more appreciated than it was then, you know, to me. Because it still sounds great whenever you put it on, you know,
Well, we certainly appreciate because, again, not just because it's history, but it's documented history, you know. And
yes.
And people are on record. You are on record. Not that you got to defend your legacy. I mean, you know, shoot, most people in a career would love to have one of what you stated, several.
Yes, sir.
So we certainly appreciate that. And again, you know, that's why I wanted to clear that up for people, again, who are new listeners, maybe listening to the show, exactly who you are and what you've done. So I guess my next question about that is the the DJ. I'm always interested from the DJ aspect. I know you said you, again, you had been a DJ yourself.
Not particularly. I did it just as a, it's basically as a hobby because my friends had equipment. Indeed. I got on it. I never professed to be a good DJ, but I could rap. I could rap, and then I found out I was a better writer than that.
Right. So what I want you to talk to me about your own assessment of the value and who you think, again, during your years was particularly effective as a DJ, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course. All right. Grandmaster Flash, of course.
All right.
Hands down, DJ Hollywood was a great DJ because he can do two things at one time. Rap and spin. Davey DMX, who was Davey D. DJ AJ, Love Bug Starsky, Junebug. Those are my guys right there.
Ah, wow.
All those guys are legendary. All of them.
Wow.
So that's what I would pay to go hear. Those guys.
Okay.
Made a whole lot of difference. And Kool Herc, please let me not omit Kool Herc.
Right.
Because one thing about the DJs back in the day, right? They created this feeling. They created a feeling, and once you got a hold of it, it was like drugs, man. You had to go hear these guys, you know what they was gonna bring each and every night, you know, the same feeling, but. You know, they had a variety of ways of getting through to you, you know? So, you remember the way a DJ makes you feel.
Of course.
Unimportant.
Of course. You know? No doubt. And it's good that you named those again. Like I said, there are names that people may know in terms of Flash and even Herc. But, you know, some of the other names, Hollywood, Starsky, things of that nature, again, people may not really know and or realize.
Of course, because they weren't born. Some whole lot of people that are critics and whatnot and all that, you know, they was born in the 90s. You know, I'm talking the 80s. Some of them was born in the 2000s.
Well, yeah, see, you know? That's the thing. So let me ask you a question.
Okay,
do you?
I had a quick question.
Go ahead,
too.
I'm sorry.
So, let me get in real fast. Just since you brought that up, that's one of my pet peeves right there. That people, like you said, they weren't even born, that don't have a clue about what really hip-hop was before they were born, is out here trying to define what history is in hip-hop. So they start to omit people like yourself and other people before you when they don't even know what the history is. They think history started after they were born.
That's right. And they don't respect the history. That's big. I like someone who studies the history and can tell you things like, hey, I found out this, or who asked the questions.
Right.
You know, that you can answer, and probably nobody else can answer because you was the one that created it, or you was there, or you witnessed it, you know?
And do you think the Universal Hip Hop Museum will start to fix some of the early history?
Well, I think so. I think so because... there they can document everything, right? And maybe you could go there and see the archives and everything. So I think it's going to help, of course. It's going to help. But they needed our help to do that.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. I mean, you can't make, again, a museum and be that is so important for the archival of exactly what hip-hop is. I mean, this is a chance to do what other genres that even jazz... obviously, over a longer period of time, even jazz hasn't been able to do. We have a unique opportunity, quote unquote, 50 years in to rectify, you know, and I know a gentleman like yourself is on the ground floor doing that, you know, again, coming to you for help. So we appreciate that.
I appreciate y'all appreciating it.
Well, let me add on to that then, since we're in that vein. I'm trying to ride with these lanes we're jumping into. As one of the forefathers in this situation, what is your biggest disappointment with hip hop, and what is your biggest happiness with hip hop?
All right, bad news first. And it's not really bad news. It's where people were born at and what's going on. I'm not sure about what's going on now. I'm not a big fan of what I'm hearing. You know what I'm saying? And it could be biased or prejudiced if you make not. I'm not going to use that word. I just can't get into it. Put it like this. I still listen to old records. You know what I'm saying? There's some things I'll listen to R&B station. I want to hear some James Brown, Barry White, Al Green, Rufus and Chaka Khan. I want to hear stuff like that still. So I listen to an old station on Saturday when I'm off for like 6 hours that will still play that stuff and not where it's not swept under the rug, because that's who I am. No, that's who you are too.
Oh, yes, sir.
Of course.
You had to grow up listening to it.
Yep.
A lot of these people don't know who James Brown is.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Figure that out. It's a lot of these people don't know where this beat came from. Like, I'm like, okay. So, now what? That was the bad news. The good news is, I grew up on it, and it inspired me to do things. Certain people, certain artists inspired me to do things, because I knew a great lyric when I heard it. So there were some great songwriters, and then I studied them. Smokey Robinson, Curtis Mayfield, the Beatles. You know what I'm saying? I learned the value of a lyric, and that's what got me into that game. I would listen to the songs. Like, and the exemplary lyrics, like Smokey Robinson wrote, like, you ever heard this? The love I saw in you was just a mirage.
That might be a little bit before my time.
But all right, but dig the lyric. He was in love with a girl, but the love he saw in her was just a mirage. So he has a line in there that says, just like the desert shows a thirsty man, a green oasis where there's only sand. You lured me into something I should have dodged. The love I saw in you was just a mirage. I'm like, oh. You hear me? I'm like, nobody can write like that. No, so those things kind of like inspired me. And Curtis Mayfield, you know.
Definitely know that.
What about if there's a hell below, we're all going to go? Don't worry. Are you hip to that?
Yeah.
Right. Now that was pure fire when I first heard it. I'm like, what? Educated fools from uneducated schools, pimping people is the rule. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, he was giving it
in the 70s, brother. So that's what inspired me. Anyway, I don't want to make it all about me, but I that's how I start.
But liking. It's okay. It's okay.
All right.
If you don't do it, who will?
So maybe somebody studied some of the things I wrote, like I studied what Boom. Was written before me.
There right. you go.
All right.
That's definitely missing. And we have lamented about that so many times because we listened to our dad's music. It's not what we were listening to per se, because they hated hip hop back then. You remember when it first came out, what is this bippity boop, bippity bop, you know?
Bippity hop.
Right. But we listened to their music. We didn't turn our backs on the Barqués or any of that, Ohio Players. We didn't turn our backs on that. We enjoyed that music. And in a lot of cases, it's even incorporated into our music.
Absolutely.
But today, there is no real incorporation. Now, we do know that hip-hop exists. This is why we do this show, because we know hip-hop exists in the way that we grew up loving it. It exists still. It's just a huge manifestation of one specific type of that music right now. But for the majority, they don't incorporate what was into what's now, which it could just be a beautiful thing if you would consider it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Well, hopefully I can keep it going, man. Like my man said, only take one. I see where he's going with it, you know. And I never collaborated with him, so you know, I'm just gonna say if you do get to hear something, I told you it was gonna happen.
No doubt,
sir. Heard it here.
No doubt. So I gotta ask you, not trying to continue to ride on anything negative. Is there anything of your peers, or I should say, back in the day, that you didn't necessarily agree with, maybe like artistically? I mean, my personal example is, you know, and a lot of people have told me I'm wrong, I never really was, even to this day, not really a Hammer person per se. You know, obviously he did what he did to great success, but not really a fan of Hammer like that. Is there any of your peers that you really weren't a fan of for whatever reason?
You know what? I dug what he did. You know what I'm saying? Because it was his time.
Right, indeed.
It was his time, and he put something out there, and, you know, people dug it. You know what I'm saying? He excited a lot of people. When he was there, it was all about him. So if you was the king of an era, whatever, you know, you're going to have fans that dug you forever.
Oh, of course, yes.
What he was hitting on, you know, you can't touch this and the dancing and all that. He was a great performer, and he would have filled up arenas, all right? So I got no qualm with him, man. It was his time. It was his time, but I can't put him as, you know, he was great at that time, put it like that, you know?
Is that revisionist history? Because because you may have to later come back now and say these young cats, these Lils and Youngs, they were doing their thing and it was their time, right?
It's possible. I just said I can't get into it.
Okay. Right, but you did get in the Hammer, though?
I haven't found anything that's exemplary.
Okay. But you know did you saying? Get into Hammer at
sounds,
that time?
It sounds the same, brother. Most of that stuff, and you know.
Today, yes.
Yeah.
But when Hammer was having his time,
yeah,
were you, I'm not going to say was you running out to buy his records, but were you like, okay.
Nah, okay. It.
All right. That's what I needed to hear.
I watched videos and he could dance. He could perform. He wasn't a great rapper, but I mean.
Okay. He had his moment.
He was what was out. And he was good.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, others, you know.
So it is what it is.
Yeah. So when you were in the midst of your run, was there anyone that you could point out that you may not have agreed with artistically, so to speak, what during your run?
Woo!
you had an ego, didn't you?
I was involved with a lot of people. You had to have at least one person. You know, like I said, you couldn't be great without it. Know what I'm saying? In some regard. And you know what? I kind of dug everybody for what they did. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
You know, everybody had a contribution. You know, some people just was better at it.
Right. And you got to say, it had to be a much smaller community, you know, at that point anyway.
That's true.
The whole world's a rapper now.
I know that. must be a million of them.
At least.
The building I lived in was in Manhattan, man. We had a lot of talent came out of that one building that I lived in, the projects. Because you had B-Fax lived in my building.
Oh, wow.
With Donald D lived in my building. It was B-Fax brother. Donald's Groove.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Can I stop you for a minute?
hold on.
Donald D and B-Fax, they're brothers.
The Donald D that passed away.
Yes.
The one made Donald's Groove.
Yes.
Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Yeah.
And B-Fax that made Whop It, they was brothers.
They're brothers.
Wow.
They're about the Bowden brothers.
Okay. Never knew that.
Okay.
That's history why lesson.
That's why I'm here. They lived in the sixth floor, on the sixth floor in my building. I lived on the third. You also had Al B, who ended up being Al Cash from the Entertainers Basketball. You know, the Rucker.
Okay.
All right.
Was part of the Disco Four.
Oh.
So that's all in my building, you know.
The beginning.
Wow, that's incredible. I never knew that.
Yep. Donald D and B-Fats are brothers. That is a fact.
Wow.
Well, I'm just going to appreciate you again, sir. I know it's, I'm over here on the West Coast. I know it's a little late over there for y'all, but.
It's all right, man. It's all right. The last time you talked to me, I was living in an apartment, and then my wife and myself we got a house.
Oh, well, that's a beautiful thing.
Congratulations.
Yes, sir. Salute.
Salute. Yeah.
There's a couple of things that was on the bucket list. We had to do this.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, is there any parting word that you want to give to the listeners? We got a couple people listen to us every now and then. So if anything you want to share with them?
Man, life is short. Don't give up on whatever your dream is. You know, don't let nobody say you can't make it. You know, don't let nobody say you can't make it. There's a will, is a way, and stick to it. Stick to it from this, you know.
And tell people where they can find you, because you know you got more stories. You're a social media head. You can tell people where to find you.
I got one page, and I got William Billy Bill Waring on Facebook, and Billy Bill One on Instagram.
There it is.
All right. That's what's up. Sir, we really, really appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate being here. I don't do things like this often. You already know that.
Yes. Are you kidding me? I feel like, you know what, Hip Hop Digest, when it comes to documenting, and people want to say, well, what's the proof? Well, here's the proof.
This is what we do.
Right.
I appreciate y'all for doing it, man.
Yes, sir. All right, well.
Great thing y'all doing. I'll be glad to come on anytime y'all need me, man.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
All right, brother. Got
anything, you hit me up.
All right. Salute.
Or I'll find the answer for you.
All right. Done deal.
Salute. Thank you.
Right. Y'all have a great night, fellas.
All right. You too.
All right. Peace.
Peace.